Hello everyone and welcome to the Institute of Leadership and Management's weekly news roundup podcast, where we take a critical look at a number of topical developments from the past few days with a leadership and management theme. I am Rod Jones, Content Manager at the Institute, and in this podcast we will be looking at news from the week beginning 8th of July. Joining me to analyse these stories is Kate Cooper, Head of Research, Policy and Standards at the Institute. Hello, Kate.
Hello, Rod.
Our first story, Kate, concerns a new initiative unveiled by the Government Equalities Office on the 3rd of July to improve the prospects and well-being of women in the UK. Entitled Gender Equality at Every Stage, A Roadmap for Change, the policy paper contains a wide-ranging, holistic set of proposals to boost women's economic status across several levels. In its section on employment, the report notes, we will enhance the service for employers reporting their data on the online gender pay gap reporting service and ensure the information is presented in a user-friendly way to help people understand the data. And the roadmap aims to tackle issues around how women are portrayed in the media via a new barometer to measure the prevalence of harmful gender stereotypes in UK advertising. Kate, does the roadmap have what it takes to bring about lasting change, particularly on the matter of the gender pay gap?
You don't have a gender pay gap if it isn't reflecting broader issues of concern in society. And I think what's to be particularly welcomed about this roadmap is the engagement with everything that contributes to women's lower status in the workplace. So in terms of the thinking being right, the ideas being right, absolutely, I don't think we can criticise this at all. But with so many initiatives, they're full of words, full of good intentions, but the everyday reality of ensuring that women are paid fairly in the workplace, that they're not portrayed poorly. And we've had stories on this podcast about really negative representation of women. And as long as that happens in organisations, small and large, we will still continue to have a gender pay gap. But just as with the gender pay gap, we start talking about something, there's data, there's reporting, there's evidence of poor representation. And I think asking companies to report on their family-friendly policies, on their well-being, on the number of people who return to work after parental leave, all of that helps the case for the closing of the gender pay gap.
Thank you, Kate. Our next story is the news that Apple's chief design officer, Johnny Ive, announced that he was leaving Apple Inc. to start his own design firm, Love Firm. I've been with the company since 1998, so this news actually shocked the tech industry and Apple fans around the world. A survey by workplace community app Blind found that just 51% of Apple employees believe that Ive's departure will result in known change. The other 49% believe that there will be an impact. For those who stated that the departure would have a negative impact, only 32% stated that Apple could remain as a tech product design leader. Kate, is it really the case that one individual leaving an organisation can have such a profound effect on that organisation's future performance?
Well, when this story was first released, there were conflicting reports about whether Ive was a constraining influence and people with creative talent were dissuaded from joining Apple or leaving, or actually he's going to be too big a hole to fill. So you can believe either of those scenarios. But Iconic Design, the extent to which it's wholly owned by Ive, it seems unlikely when you have as many designers as Apple have that somebody's designing everything all of the time. Nevertheless, the iconic status of the Apple products wasn't enough. That isn't why they were successful. They also had great operations, great manufacturing, great marketing, great PR, everything that made Apple Apple. And that's not going to go away because their chief designer has left. So it's watch this space, time for an Apple refresh, and maybe all that talent that felt that it wasn't being given the opportunity to shine now has that opportunity. So I'll be very reluctant to say that one person leaving a company like Apple is going to be its downfall.
Thank you very much, Kate. Our next story, Culture Over Cash, considers a survey conducted online by the Harris Poll on behalf of Glassdoor among 1,041 adults aged 18 and older in the UK. The survey found that more than half adults prioritise workplace culture over salary, and that 3 in 4 adults now consider a company's culture before applying for a job. Well, over half of UK adults put company culture above salary for job satisfaction, and that company culture, senior management and career opportunities are the top 3 factors leading to long-term job satisfaction for employees, according to Glassdoor Economic Research. Kate, what are the implications of this survey for attracting and retaining talent?
Well, Glassdoor, as the name suggests, give us insights into workplaces that haven't been available previously, and of course social media greatly facilitates that. We use the term culture to really describe so many things, and there are so many different definitions, but I think overall it's about whether somewhere is a great place to work or not. Do you enjoy working there? Do you like your colleagues? Do you feel that you're making a difference? Do you feel that the organisation collectively behaves in a way that aligns with your own values? And the more you add to that list, the more that you can see that you would sacrifice quite a lot of salary if everything else was right, such as we find with flexible working. It means so much to people to feel in charge of their working lives and to feel that you're part of something bigger than you are. So I'm not surprised at these results, and I think the more we hear about what it's really like to work in an organisation and not have to rely only on the information we get at the point of application, the more these great places to work will continue to be great places to work, and the more they'll be attracting people, and it won't be about salary alone.
Thank you, Kate. Our final story looks again at the London Marathon. We reported earlier on the hundreds of runners who were shouted at for being too slow during this year's London Marathon, and we now hear that Virgin is giving them free entry for next year's London Marathon. Kerry Aldrich from Cardiff, who finished last in this year's marathon, has already been offered a place for next year. She took 9 hours and 11 minutes to complete the route and said she was sniggered at by stewards. Kate, have Virgin done enough?
Well, we said at the time that the fact that Virgin owned the problem, apologised immediately for what was unacceptable behaviour, was great, and the fact they've now followed it up with concrete actions, rather than just saying, oh, it's all going to be better next year, that we've said, right, we're going to apologise to these runners, and we do know that a place in the London Marathon is highly prized. We actually contacted Kerry Aldridge for a comment, because she, of everybody, will know whether this is an adequate response, and I think she is very positive, and she said, I think that there is a real opportunity here for VLM to really embrace the philosophy of it being everybody's race. They could look at their social media to help by showcasing not just elites, but also your average runners, and celebrate their achievements. So if Kerry Aldridge thinks that this in some way recompenses for what was a dreadful experience, well done to her and well done to Virgin.
Thank you, Kate. That's a very positive note to conclude this week's episode. Listeners can find further topical content in the News and Views section on the Institute's website at www.institutelm.com. And thank you once again, Kate, for your insights on these stories.
Thank you, Rod.